on the rental check.
Okay.
Remember we spoke about, that the software, or you know, with the spreadsheet program, or you know, remember what other programs that you that will work best for you that can communicate with accounting?
Yeah, okay.
Where do we stand? And I know you spoke with Frank also, right?
Yes, and the thing is, the last time I spoke to Frank, he mentioned that he was trying to get things rolling in a couple of months. This
okay,
was
just stay on top of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So that's it on your end. Any questions from the board or comments? Clyde?
No, we're doing good here.
We're getting better.
Okay. The loan report.
So because it's his quick claim and the person that bought it is very familiar how to remove that pending HOA since it's seizure. So we're not utilizing any great complaint or interest anymore and nothing other than the taxes that he did pay. So that's removed. That particular is no longer an REO.
Right.
The other one is the Escovedo property, the one that's been damaged. That one will go foreclosed this month.
We closed it just a couple weeks ago.
And then I've just been advised by Manny Kwan that we should be sold.
We sold it, right.
The Agate Hillside property. Mm-hmm.
Is that the 20-year?
The 117. So that one we expect to gain value. So we were advised that we should be closing either by the second week of August.
Okay.
The appraisal was already done, which was my big concern. That's okay. It came up to the value that they were borrowing. It was okay for that.
What was the value?
Paid for the PTR.
What was the market value or the appraisal value?
Oh, I didn't get that from them. Well, I know that we sold it for what we were able to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You said the one in Agate.
Yes. And for the guy that was for Uber renting it,
mm-hmm.
$600 a month. And since then, we haven't rented.
Yeah.
So that should be closed
so
in August. And then I'm working with Judy and that other REO that
just closed.
The guy that's occupying it is just, you know, they're just renting it. So Judy is.
Is that the one that's like 20 plus years old?
Yeah.
So we're trying to, you know, you can buy it, move out, rent it, something, but. You know, I wouldn't put a staff to try to deal with his condition. So in order for us to get a marshal, this would be three or four marshals to get him in. So, but Judy's been successful. At least she tried to get him to let us go in and appraise it. Should we do it again, so we can determine, like, what we want him to sell it.
Yes.
We want to buy it, put it in auction. That would be the
other so that's the
bottom
right.
Other than the recent,
that's the final thing we're selling it.
Remove those old
REOs. Yeah, an interest in buying it.
I just to add to Mary, I the Cliff condo, I foreclosed on that one. I didn't foreclose on the Springs. The Kittichai, I initially foreclosed on that property. It came back into REO. Now, the initial debtor who we foreclosed on and then rented was able to refinance it to get it out of Quan Housing. So that was another nightmare case that I did years ago. This other one that we did with the one that was Mary was referring to was one that was already foreclosed. We've just had issues because this particular individual had sold the property to a family member, right, Mary? They didn't make good on their loan with Quan Housing, but Quan Housing foreclosed. This family member relocated, and so this individual that Mary refers to, they've had this sort of position or belief that it's still their property. So we've had issues because I think this individual and family, right, Mary, is it has these tendencies, and so I've been involved just at foreclosure
Left
because they've tried to get onto the property. I think GHC owns it, but, I mean, they own it, it's just that this family member lives adjacent to it, thinking it's still their property.
And they're still encroaching on it?
Well, they just won't allow anybody to get on it, so I've actually met previously before.
But it's a separate property from what they're
Well,
staying.
My understanding is there's two lots side by side. I think they stay on one, it's sort of, the other one is sort of, they might have built onto the second one, which they previously had sold or assigned to a family member. The family member took a loan from GHC, they never made good on it. GHC had to foreclose, they left. So the original family member that owned it, this party, has always had this position in their mind, no, we still own it, we never got noticed, but that's not the case.
Remember we discussed this in the past, several times, and we, and yet I think the last position we took is this, why do we get the you know, like you said, there's a form you have to fill, is it, or
Yeah,
file?
Yeah.
Get the marshals involved, I mean, that's just departisan.
Yeah, and I did call the marshals, but they said unless they get a court order.
So can we,
can we send a marshal then? That would be the court order?
Yeah.
That would be the court order.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta move forward with that.
Yeah. I think the goal was to try to sell it to them, and I did make efforts to try to get him and say, hey, give us an offer. Give us an offer, I'll present it to GHC, they said they will come in. And so I've worked with the spouse, and they thought that the son would be in a good position to make an offer, so we stopped at that because I hadn't heard anything, and so now I think we just
I think we should move forward, you know, because they're kind of like painting us to a court.
Yeah.
I mean, what more can we do? I mean, it seems like we've already exhausted all our helping hand out to them, or even extensions, and gone beyond, above and beyond what we should be doing. And I think this is one of those instances where, you know, we just prolong the agony.
We're like the willows, just be there.
Since 1999, we've been building this property.
Since 1999?
That's a long time.
And that person that Keith was talking about has tried to balance our situation.
That's almost 20 years.
Has met our staff with a gun.
That's the problem, is the violent part of it.
Yeah.
And you just have to be very careful.
Yes, and something that we take is like, yeah.
But this has been reported, though, right?
Yes. Yes, in fact, the marshals, I remember Mary telling me this before, the marshals actually, I called the marshal and they said they were very, I mean, they were not just concerned for the community, they were concerned for themselves. So when you have a marshal or law enforcement to have to say that, so I've cautioned Mary to say, be very careful not to send anybody up there from GHC. To be careful, you know, because we don't know what that is and the liability and then the potential action that could be taken.
Send the SWAT team.
So I think that if I could propose, and I'll work with Mary, is I will reoffer and say, look, you either want to sell it or we just have to sell it out. We're going to get somebody to get the appraisal, put the onus back on them, and if they don't, we can take it from there. But I think we just have to take it quite, carefully, because my concern is I don't want to have any kind of repercussions that could involve not just, not just them, but also potentially staff from GHC, my staff, anybody else. You know, I've seen too many cases like this in our courts. And you get people that just get angry and something just triggers them, and you're done. So that's why we have to take it very carefully, because of the potential liability to this organization.
And if we sell it, should we sell it? If we should sell it and the new owners move in, they're still there.
Yes.
They could be harmful.
Well, that's the concern that I would have, to be able to sell, to make an offer to sell this or even have the realtor listed.
Right.
And so that would be the worst case scenario. And so one issue could be that if you sold it to somebody without really, they came in and saw it and then later these issues came about. The fact that we didn't make these disclosures to the purchaser.
Yeah, you have to disclose.
I mean, it's going to be a problem for GHC. So, you know, this is a sensitive issue. This is, you know, one I see has been always sensitive.
Yeah.
But I think what I'll do is work with Mary to see if I can reach out to them and say, look, we're going to sell it. And if not, you know, give us an offer. And at this point, then it would be up to the GHC to present to the board, this is what they're going to offer. And I think the best case scenario is to try to sell it to them and get rid of it from there. You know, because then we just kind of remove ourselves from that situation.
But if we sell it to them and we're still going to take, I mean, they're going to get it from us.
No. They would just, I believe that maybe the one party may be able to qualify. kind of VA financing, or I was told that the son may be able to do it, but I think in this case, the potential...
But they're not willing, I guess. Obviously.
No, they were initially, but they hadn't presented something to us yet, and so...
How long ago was that?
It was a while back.
Why are we waiting for them?
Well, part of the problem, again, is you try to market and sell it.
That's true.
And you expose other people to danger.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is something from a legal standpoint I wouldn't want to do.
No, no. Right.
You know, so I think what we're going to do, we've been trying to work with them previously. They hadn't, and then we stopped. They said they'd come in. I mean, I recall my office was pretty assertive in communicating with them to try to get them in. But I think what we'll do is I'll work with Mary to try to make this offer, and maybe whatever they offer, they can come up with the funding outside of GHC. Maybe something the board would consider, just because even the potential profit versus the extensive liability and the potential danger to this organization.
Right.
I mean, you got to weigh that and say,
true.
Do we really want to just continue to make some kind of profit off this OREO, or do we just want to really just get rid of it, because it's going to be an ongoing liability for Guam Housing in the long run. So, you know, these are things we look at. So I will work with Mary, and I'll reach out to them again and suggest that, you know, if they want it, we're interested in trying to sell the property, would they like to make an offer, present an offer, and then Guam Housing can review it, and it need be presented to the board.
Is the property in the village or outside?
I'm not sure where it's located. Within the village, right, Mary? Because I remember it's just right adjacent to each other.
It
I mean,
the,
that's not the one that's flooding.
It came out at 90,000.
Yeah.
So what we booked from that was 63 sold units. Well, this is just for consideration. For us not to realize a loss, we see we have to sell it, not get 63 sold.
But still considering all those other issues, right? I mean, I myself as a board member here would consider that. And you know, sometimes you just have to let it go. I mean, even if it's 50,000 or 40, because it might be appraised at 90, but that's not considering the actual conditions there.
Yeah.
It's just looking at it and measuring it and, you know, market value.
Unfortunately, Mr. Vice Chair, and I know when Mary asked me to help with this, I remember this is how sensitive it was. We couldn't even send our staff out there. I had to hire a investigative process server to go out there, because it had to be somebody that was big, that knew how to deal with things. And I mean, I think the homes or the properties, because it's family compound or area, I mean, it's so close. I mean, that would be the nightmare neighbor that I would have, that, you know,
that's what I'm saying, that
I want to just
90,000
give it up and leave, you know.
She'll let you
so,
know
that. So, I mean, I'll work with Mary to see what we can do, but I think that you have to evaluate the potential gain that GHC would have if they were to realize a profit versus the liability.
Well, all those issues that you bring up, I'm not even worried about the profit.
Right.
You know, we just want to get it off our hands.
That's right.
So then I'll work with Mary.
But then we're going to see what she can come up with and present to the board. That person could easily come up the elevator and come in this room.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Especially we're advertising on our board meetings.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's just continue working
that. I will work with Mary about that, because I think this is the only thing, right, Mary, that's left. Anything else we
that
have?
Would be the last, other than the recent acquisition, one that we just had for future.
And see, I think the root of the problem is we got ourselves into this mess in the beginning when we did it that way. When we involved the other family member, we should have just said, okay, no, it's got
to
be another outright purchase.
We get the other family involved. No. They just made themselves involved because they were chasing that.
That's the problem.
That was their original property that they sold to this.
So what I'm saying is back during that time when there was already a problem, why didn't we move on it?
No, we did. We foreclosed on it. It's just that this family member, the original, the second family member took out a loan, and they just sort of left. I think they just absconded. They just said, we can't pay for it. So I think there was some bad communications, I suspect, between these family members, because the original family member that sold it to the one that took out the loan from GHC probably wasn't even aware of it, that they remortgaged the property and all this other stuff. And it just got
very... But how were they able to sell it when there was a piece of
that
and showing all that stuff? How did they cure that title?
No, it's because the other family member, I think, had signed the ownership interest to them. Correct me if I'm wrong, it's been a long time. So the second family member owned it, but they took out a mortgage to pay for, either pay back the family member or whatever it was. They didn't make good on the mortgage with GHC, so GHC just foreclosed on it. So it's sort of like this sort of familial property where you have two lots. And
but how are they able to get a mortgage thrown in their name when it's still?
It wasn't the second family member's name. It's just the other family member thought, well, this is our family.
So was it the name of two?
Yeah, he forgot he sold it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good as a
yeah, but what is showing on record?
Oh, on record?
It's under the person that we gave the was given the note.
Yes,
he
yes.
Owned that property.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, they foreclosed. Okay.
Yeah.
So you foreclosed on that person.
Right. And they left. They just up and left.
So now the original
owner
of the family.
Original owner
stakes claim on it.
They seem to have
although it's not in their name.
Right.
Right.
It's in GHC's name. But, you know, they're like this, you know, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
Can we just work to that and make
yes.
give it what you got?
If you really look at that, this is similar, although without all the drama, it's similar to the situation we had in the management property.
Yeah.
I mean, we had it, and right now it's a liability on us because it's already in our inventory. We own it. Right now, I would like to get what we can get just to get out of it.
I thought we sold it.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
No, but what I mean is it's the same scenario. We're sitting here with
we
a piece of property that we foreclosed
no
on that's basically in our inventory, and we're facing the liability. This is worse because we actually have someone in there that could be a liability to all of it. So.
No, but that original owner who's not the owner is still claiming he's the owner?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think it's similar to the
well, no, but what
the club
no,
thing, yeah?
No, what I'm trying to say
thank
is
you.
We but we own it. So we're right,
right
now
right,
we're liable.
Right.
It's our inventory.
Yeah. No,
so I'm just
on that aspect,
we should
yes.
get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I think we should just go ahead and make present to the board and we'll
yeah.
that.
I'll work with Marianne. Mary already discussed this with me, but
and I agree with QB and also with Mary, you know. It now becomes not only a matter of appraisal value or getting back or you know breaking even. It's a matter of getting rid of it, because there's a huge liability, unwritten liability attached to it, and we don't want to involve anybody else.
And you're right, Mr. Vice Chair. We just don't want them being so aggravated. They come here angry, and you don't.
No,
know
I mean, I, you know, I didn't even know about that.
Can we work on that? On the son that is capable of.
Well, I'm going to talk to Mary. We can reach out.
Well, it's working. We're ready.
Yeah,
you're ready. We're working. Work with them some more. See if we can get anything out of it and then present it to the board.
Sure.
We'll do that. Okay.
So if the
I was
going to
say they can still be aggravated with the marshal court and like so
yeah.
just be aware of that.
That's why we want to take it as sort of like as sensitively as possible.
Yes. Okay. I agree
with
you.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. So
any other questions or comments of the loan report?
Oh yeah.
No, I've been working just with Mary with them.
Okay, so we'll move to the rental report, Mike.
With
Mary,
okay, on the rental report, on the notices that we've been issuing out, we've been getting some good responses within the notices that we've been giving out concerning the delinquencies. Just to give you an example, we've been receiving payments of $2,900, $2,500. $2,500, $3,500, $2,500, and I just received another payment for $6,000. This is regarding one of our renovated units. And they're responding quite well within the notices that we're pushing real hard to get these rental payments done. Unfortunately, we had an eviction that took place that kind of turned my stomach, because this eviction that took place was the individual was in a wheelchair and also on dialysis. But you know his delinquency was just too much, so I gave him an eviction notice and I set up an appointment to meet with him, but he didn't meet with me, so he just left. But the individual had his source of income was just not there, and it was unfortunate. This individual was in a wheelchair and also on dialysis.
So where did he go?
I don't know. But I set up an appointment with him so that he can come and see me. But this was just the end part of last month.
Also, since then, you haven't heard anything?
No.
Well, you know, I'm going back to what I had mentioned earlier when we were discussing the road trip. If we just get our system and our policies in place and we stay with it, right? We're kind of like building up these people to have that kind of mindset.
Yeah.
And we're part of the problem when we keep allowing this and then not allowing this and then allowing that there. So if we're firm on our policies and our directives, everybody is going to be understood across the board. But this, I mean, I feel for you. I feel for that person. I really do. But you have to understand that we can't always change the rules in the middle of the game. I mean, you know, we've had board directives and policies in the past that were blatantly not followed. And all that does is bring up situations like that, because I'm pretty sure this person knew exactly that, hey, the Guam Housing is has this set of policies, has this set of directives, and they're aware of it up front. It's going to be less of a pain to have to do that. I mean, everybody look at, for example, like the banks. When you go and apply for a mortgage, everybody knows that if you don't pay in 90 days, you're going to be happy. No answers, or but doesn't matter what condition you're in. That's why everybody's willing, they can accept that. But with us, they see this guy here, that guy there, this other client there, and say, you know, why are they coming after me? You know, I'll give one perfect example, and I'll say this because I was there recently. The Philippines. The traffic control is a total joke. They're out there, they call the MMDA, they stand there, they pull over at certain cars, and they say, you can't cross this yellow line. Everybody's doing it. You look at the MMDA website, and it shows you a list of violations, a crack headlight, imprudent driving. For those of you who have been to the Philippines, how many times have you seen imprudent driving? And I drove there for 2 months, and I did the same thing, because it's allowable. But yet, if you're the one that gets pulled over, you're going to say, why are you? Why are you? I mean, when everybody else is doing the same thing here. We help build that mindset when we don't follow that. Or we don't let the client up front know that, hey, this is what's going to happen. And of course, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we do have an incubator process. And if we add that homeless to it, that's actually going to add like an infancy level to it. Because you help the homeless, and hopefully these guys get out and then they're able to afford rent maybe, and then on their own. So that should be the steps. And when we have something like that in place, let's have a real well-defined process that we all follow. And we follow with everybody, not just this guy, we can let him go because, okay, he's in a wheelchair. This other one, we got to hit him because he's active, he's a veteran, he can get money from Westcare. Is that Westcare?
Yeah.
This one here, you know, let's let him go because he's got an attitude. We got to get rid of that. And I think I really do feel that if Guam Housing had followed and set the directives and the precedents with everybody, that's going to be the new mindset. That's going to be the paradigm shift for all the clients. Because right now everybody's going in a certain avenue. Sometimes, like I said, like fueling these issues that we have now, I think part of it is the corporation, really. And you know, like I said, I do really see, and this is coming from the heart, and also from what I see, is man, we're really moving in a better direction right now. And let's take the lead on this thing, you know, as a GovGov agency. And I know we can do it.
Sure.
But anything else on that, Mike?
Yes, sir. Okay. Our maintenance supervisor. He was out for quite some time, you know, because of some health issues. And when he recently returned, or basically what it is he's out again because he's got some health issues again. So the individual that was, you know, taking over was the maintenance leader. So the thing is, sir, if you can, I guess, during the absence of a maintenance supervisor, at least if this maintenance lead can be put on an acting capacity.
Well, I mean, there's the president, Chris, you can, you see, right? I mean, you're just gonna do it if you're living there.
Demo.
As long as we have the money for it.
It's a personal matter.
I need to talk to you about it.
No, no, no.
Once, yeah, you can just laugh and then this.
I did not mention it.
No, sure, but you know, she brought up now, so what we gotta do is find out if we have funding for it, and then, you know, that you can take action on your level.
And how long has he been doing acting?
But it's, is it 120 or 90? 120, right? Yeah, we have the money to temporarily promote this guy for 120 days, just do it. Do we have the money?
For the time John was out and for the time he came back.
Oh, he already sent the request.
Well, he was out for about almost 2 months first.
Yeah.
Then he came back for a couple of weeks, now he's out again. So
he's out now.
He's out now.
Well, that shouldn't be a problem, because the 120 is just is the consecutive. You can take a day break and do another 120, right?
Yeah.
Am I correct in that? So I think you can handle that as long as we have money for it. I don't.
It starts all over. So when John comes back, for him to be acting again, John will be out for 30 days then.
Okay. So just whatever falls within the parameters of our policy.
Okay. As long as it's on the record, we'll.
Yes. Any other board?
I don't know what the retroactive is allowed under the personnel rules.
Compensated for the time that it's.
I'm not.
You're gonna have to check with personnel on that, because I don't think you can retroactive a promotion, a temporary promotion.
Well, just look into it, and if it's possible, you know, we have no problem with it.
But if you had known that John was gonna be out for an extended period of time, that's when you should have taken action.
Well, it's a medical issue, so.
It's a medical issue.
I know, but depending on what kind of medical issue.
He always makes, the thing is, whenever he's gonna, he always makes that call to me.
Makes that what?
He always make, you know, he always calls me to let me know.
No, but depending on the condition of his illness.
Yes.
We can, you know, and depending on, he can get to give you some feedback as to how long the doctor requires him to stay out. And then at that time, you should have taken the lead to try to have somebody fill in his position and give that person that pay from that time on.
Going back to that, I mean, we have myself and the board, we, you know, go ahead and move forward with that.
Yeah.
If need be, so as long as we have the funding for it, we have the money to.
Funding for funding.
Just handle it on your level. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And I just want to make a comment, Mike. Thank you. It looks like there's been a lot
yes,
of improvements over. Let's slowly try and get rid of this 150, 120 day plus, but I see
yes.
that it's dropped drastically.
Yes.
As far as the delinquency rate. And keep up the good work.
Thank you,
Shane. How's our health care doing?
That's income for us.
Yeah.
Mr. Dovis?
Mr. Dovis, he's doing fine, sir.
Okay,
he's right now, you know, he's working on a lot of the, he's working on the leases, he's working on some of the reports.
Yeah, he can probably help you with the Excel side or the software side.
Sure.
I think he's pretty sharp with that, so.
Yes, sir, please.
Okay, so anything else on the rental side as far as the board?
Just that.
Frank?
Yeah.
The LTA. Actually, she's pretty good there.
No.
Very,
Hey, that's what it's all about, you know.
Need somebody there.
If you know somebody that has the expertise.
Take the, Take the lead and run with it, you know.
Right.
So
I love that.
I mean, I know
after
I mentioned this to,
we're a special tool being.
I mentioned this to Cuban and Chris also at the beginning of the you guys, well, once you get the ball, you got to run.
Oh, no. They're running.
They're running.
Running
yeah, exactly, man. I mean, thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so anything else?
I'm trying to keep up with Dom.
Oh, yeah. Man, she's aggressive.
What about me?
Well, that's a nice cry from what we had before.
No,
it's
a good team.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yes. Everything is like,
I like to go on record saying that again and again and again. I'll do it every board meeting if I have to. But Mike, thanks for that rental report. Okay, and we'll
good work, Mike.
There's,
you know, that's money for us, for housing.
Absolutely.
We need to be aggressive.
Well, if the rest of the board would look at the report, I mean, you just look at the number of accounts that have dropped. You know, like, for example, the 150 plus day in the Atlanta Gardens, we went in May from 15 accounts.
Atlanta is a rental, right?
Yeah, these are rental.
Or just for loan.
And then, June we went down to 6.
Yeah.
But you know, there's also. also the 120 is lingering to be 150, so we got to make sure that we stay on the, keep that in control. So let's move to the next public participation. I don't think there's anybody here right now. That, move on.
I move to adjourn.
Miscellaneous? Any miscellaneous?
Welcome back, Caesar.
Caesar?
Before we adjourn, I'd just like to, if you have anything to say, I'd like to go on the board.
About Caesar, how's Norma?
Alicia?
Friday of the month, are we going to go back to the third? Is it good? We'll do the last Friday?
The 25th.
Okay, so it would be
the 25th.
It's better for report.
At 25. The 25th.
We want to get some things done, sir.
Yeah. Right, man. Hey, man.
So August 25th, 8:30 in the morning.
You guys are very great,
Before we adjourn, Mr. Vice Chair, I just in coming the following meeting after, I informed GHC, I plan to be off island between September 21st to October 4th. I don't arrive on Guam until October 4th, so just for planning purposes.
September when?
September 21st.
So maybe we can have it the 30th.
For the September, yes.
Speaking of that, when did you say that the August meeting was?
It's on the 25th.
25th at 8:30, right?
Yes.
I love this time zone.
Mr. Vice Chair, we'll make a note on the meetings maybe the third week, so I just got to make sure with because that's the 15th, I just have to make sure.
So you're going to hurry up?